time to really just the couple weeks here to talk about the role of mission, the role of missions. And then we're going to talk a little bit more in the coming weeks about empowerment for mission. We're going to look a bit at supernatural gifts, at signs, wonders, and miracles, gifts of the Spirit, that sort of thing. But I want to pull us around to the key verse we've been using for this series. It's Acts 1:8. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said right before he ascended into heaven, 10 days before he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus said, well, when you receive my life, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have empowerment and you have boldness and you have a surety of who I am in you and who you are in me, you're going to be a witness for me. And you're going to be a witness in four regions. You're going to be a witness in Jerusalem or their hometown. You're going to be a witness in Judea or the larger surrounding area of their hometown. You're going to be a witness in Samaria or the places where the Jews would walk around, they wouldn't go to, the hard places in life, the difficult areas in life. And then you're going to be a witness ultimately to the ends of the earth. We saw last week how the book of Acts uses this as really an outline of the apostles' witness, that they start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea, then they're scattered into Samaria, and then ultimately it picks up with the apostles Paul travels to the end of the earth. And that the same spirit that the apostles have is the same spirit that we have. Peter, when he's speaking his first sermon on Pentecost Day, he quotes from the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, about the pouring out of the Spirit on Pentecost, and he says, this Spirit is not just for me, but it's for your children, and it's for your children's children, and it's for everyone who is far off. How many know that we're far off from the time of the apostles? But guess what? That gift and that promise is for us, and that we participate in the powerful witness that the Spirit brings. And so we've been talking about how the Spirit empowers for missions. And I want to talk just this morning a little bit about ways that we can support missions, and talk about really the concept of being that witness to the ends of the earth. How many know that most of us aren't going to travel all around the world and be witnesses? But God has witnesses for himself all across the world. And what we can do is we can support those missionaries in different ways. We can support them financially. We can support them prayerfully. And so I just want to look about that this morning. And then finally, we'll talk about the role of even doing a short-term mission trip and what that can mean for your life, what that can mean for the missionary's life you go and help. And the role, and even give you an opportunity at the end to sign up or look at trips that we do here as a church after the service. So first thing I just want to look at is how one way that we can support missions is that we can support them financially. Now, I don't like to do messages here about money a lot. I hate talking about money. But the Bible does talk a lot about money. And the Bible talks about how God richly supplies us with money, and that one reason he does do that is so that we can richly supply others. Paul, one church he wrote to was the church in Philippi, and one thing about the Philippian church was that they were a mission-minded church, and by being mission-minded, that they would do two things. Number one, they would use their finances to support Paul, and they would use their prayer to support Paul. This is what Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Now, what Paul is talking about is the Philippians had sent someone from their congregation, a man by the name of Epaphroditus, to Paul where he was at, and that Epaphroditus brought with him a lot of the gifts from the people of the Philippian church, and they richly supplied Paul's needs. And, you know, Paul obviously is saying that this is something that they had done in the past, that this was a flourishing again. And, you know, I find that in our church is that we all go, this church has gone through different seasons where we need to attend to specific needs and different things, but there is always a joy in our church when there is a flourishing in financial giving for missions. And that's why what we're doing here in talking about this week and last week about the faith promise giving is we want to use all the money that comes in through this gift specifically for missions. I shared with you last week that we had our first faith promise gift of $250 a month. And so we as a team here at the church have already talked about what we're going to do with this extra $250. We're going to support one missionary over in the Philippines, $100 a month. We're going to support another missionary over in Lebanon who has been there. She's been there about a year, but she needs support to stay on there. And she's a big support there in the Life Center. And we're going to support her $100 a month. And so as the money comes in, we're going to look at ways how our missions giving, like the Philippians missions giving, can flourish again. Amen? And that's part of our being a witness. It's coming alongside and equipping those God has called into the fivefold ministry. You know, God, one thing that God does is that he gifts apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to the church, and he does it for the equipping of all of his saints. And one thing that we can do is we can come alongside these people, these gifts that God has given the church, and we can support them with our finances. Look what Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, which is where the Philippi is, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now, this is interesting here. the Philippians were the only people who were supplying from their finances to the ministry of Paul, even though Paul was starting churches all over the place. He was starting churches in Athens. He was starting churches in Corinth. And he was starting churches in Thessalonica. He had come from the Antioch church. He was all over the place establishing missions, and yet it was the Philippians who decided one thing they were going to do was make sure that they supported Paul's ministry financially. And there's something about having a foundation in what the Bible talks about, sowing and reaping. That Paul takes the principles of sowing and reaping in the Old Testament, and he shares how those principles apply to us today spiritually in our financial gifts. That we can trust the mysterious ways God works to provide for us. And that's what we do when we sow seed or we give of our finances to the church or in missions or in other things, is that we're trusting God that as we give, so it shall be given back unto us. And that when we give, it's not that we're losing something. It's when we give, we're giving something into God's hands. And that God will richly supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, Paul says, the Philippian church is the one who had a revelation about giving and receiving. You know, I love growing up, my dad, he always used alliteration in his sermons. And I would travel with him every summer. And I remember, you know, he would have cards and we'd have stuff on our house. And I remember all of his little witty sayings because God gifted him with the gift of alliteration. One thing my dad would always say is that the seed you sow is the only seed that will grow. The seed you sow is the only seed that will grow. You know, one of the things I'm grateful for with growing up around people of faith or in the faith movement growing up in life is that people were not afraid of money. And I've seen the movement more about generosity than sometimes how it's painted as a movement of greed. No, I don't think that. I think it's a movement of generous-hearted people. At least that's my experience with people, about trusting God's promises that when we give, it will be given back to us. That he who sows bountifully, as Paul said, will also reap bountifully. that there can be joy in our giving and that we can give hilariously because we trust God will meet our needs, even though it doesn't make any sense to the world, right? That scattering seed or scattering finances actually does anything. People only say, well, if you buy stocks and bonds, maybe your money will come back. But if you're just handing money out, it's not going to come back. No. We believe and trust God that he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It may not make sense to our reason, but this is what God says. There can be joy in our giving, and it doesn't have to be a frustrating or fearful thing. We do not need to be afraid of our money. We should be afraid of having a love for money, but we don't need to be afraid of money in and of itself. Look what he goes on to say in Philippians 4, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Paul is saying, the big thing here is not that I'm so glad I have the money, but look what he says. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul was not afraid to say that the sacrifice of our missions giving was like a gift to God. It was like the unblemished lambs or bulls that people would bring to the temple in the Old Testament. Our gifts of giving are like, Paul says, a sweet-smelling sacrifice. That they are, like incense unto God. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how God receives the prayers of his peoples as if they're precious incense. And we'll talk about the role of players. And he has golden bowls to receive the precious prayers of his people. In the same way, the giving of our finances is a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And it raises up to God. And he is glad when he sees that. And he promises to meet our needs according to his riches. So we don't need to be afraid about giving. We never need to be afraid about giving. And if we're afraid about giving, then what we need to do is we need to immerse ourselves in the promises of God, in the stories of Scripture where we see people giving and we see God meeting needs, right? And we don't need to be afraid. Second is we see prayer support, is that we can support missionaries with our prayer support. One of the things we see in Paul's letters to the various churches he administered to throughout the world is that while he was grateful for financial support, even more he was grateful for their prayers. Now, if giving money away to people and believing God to meet our needs in return is foolishness to the world, you know what's even more foolishness to the world? Believing that praying to God does something. But it does. It indeed does. And the main mover in missions is not Paul. The main mover in missions is not the other apostles. The main mover in missions is the Holy Spirit. You know, last week we talked about how the book of Acts, some of your Bibles will say that it's the Acts of the Apostles. Well, that of the Apostles is not there in the original. It's probably better described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It was people who had received the Holy Spirit and were filled with the Holy Spirit who were going around and were empowered for missions. It is the act of God. God is at work on the mission field. You know that? Paul was simply a vessel. He was one who would plant or establish communities. He was one who would encourage or water congregations. But it was ultimately God who would bring increase. It was God alone who would draw people, who would save people, who would heal people, who would restore people, who would mature people, who would develop people, who would create loving communities. That is the work of the Spirit of God. That is the fruit of his ministry in people's heart and people's lives. All we do is plant, we scatter seeds, and we water. And we trust God to give the increase. When we pray for anyone, there is something that is happening at a spiritual level that we do not always sense, but there is actual help from heaven in prayer. Look how Paul talks about the prayer support of the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, the great apostle Paul would get discouraged at points. But look what he goes on to say. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, and whom we trust that he will deliver us. And how is one way that he will deliver us? He goes on and say, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. You know, Paul is saying that when he's in all this dire distress on the mission field, one thing that he encourages him is the fact that the Corinthian church was praying for him. That indeed there was actual help from heaven in their prayers. He says something similar about the Romans congregation. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, he says this, now I beg you, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Paul was begging for their prayers. Paul never begged for money, but you know what he did beg for? He begged for people's prayers because he understood the power of prayer. Paul had gone around on the mission field all throughout the whole Mediterranean area for one purpose. He was gathering, well, for several purposes, but one purpose was this. He was gathering finances from all these churches so he could go and support the local church in Jerusalem who was in a famine. And he could show that this gospel that is a worldwide gospel, that isn't just for the Jews, and how all the Gentile brothers across the world love the Jewish people. And so he's asking for safety, for deliverance from evil in this time, and he's begging people for their prayers. Look what he says to Philemon in Philemon chapter 1, verse 22. This is how he ends his letter, his short letter to Philemon. But meanwhile, you also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Look how the message puts it. And by the way, get a room ready for me. Because of your prayers, I fully expect to be your guest again. Paul's telling Philemon, get everything ready. Get my bed made. Get groceries in the refrigerator. Because prayer works, right? So get to praying. You know, we could talk about the role of prayer all throughout the book of Acts. Remember when Peter was in prison and he was in chains and they had just killed James, the apostle James? You know what it says was happening while he was in prayer? It says the church was praying. And when they were praying, it says that an angel came into his prison and unshackled him. And he simply walked out the prison doors to their house. There was something about prayer that was involved there. There was something about help from heaven. So that our financial support is great, but our prayer support is just as important. Prayer has always been the engine behind missions. This is what we see in the book of Acts. Paul's first church with Barnabas was the Antioch church. They were established there for a whole year, working with both Jews and Greeks, both Jews and Gentiles. It was the first church that had brought together people from all the ends of the earth. And after being there a year, it says that all the elders were praying and prophesying, and they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them out into the mission field. Prayer inspires missions. One of the great missions movements of the 18th and 19th centuries was the Moravian movement. The Moravian had a prayer meeting for 100 years. They were the most joyous, happy people ever. They were gospel-centered. They would meditate on the truths of the gospel. And there was freedom in their life. They met a grumpy man when they were over here in America, a man by the name of John Wesley. John Wesley was an angry man. He didn't understand why his missions endeavors weren't working. And then he met the Moravians. And he read an introduction from the Moravians of Martin Luther's commentary of the book of Galatians. And he saw the glory of the gospel there. And his heart was strangely warmed. And you know what? It changed his mission endeavors. Finally, his missionary movement became fruitful. It became fruitful in England. It became fruitful in America. It was all because there was a joyous aspect that God helps missionaries in their prayers. That mission work is not done alone. Missionary work is not done out of our own strength. Nothing about the Christian life is done out of our own strength. If you're trying to do things out of your own strength, you're going to be discouraged. After a while, you're going to be burnt out. You're gonna look at life and you just want to say, man, I just want to quit. I want to get out of here. Let me move out of the country and just try to get some rest, right? But God is our rest. God is our strength. And when we pray, we enter into his rest. When we pray, we strive to enter into his rest and understand that he is everything we need, that he can guide us in our lives, in our little missions life, in all of our everyday work here, right? In our home, with our families, in our schools, in our workplaces. That is how we're going to be fruitful, is when we enter into God's rest and allow his love to be spread abroad in our heart. You know, in prayer, one thing that's cool about prayer, in prayer, there is no distance. You know that? When we lift people up to the Lord, we pray to the one who has us all in the palm of his hands. We pray for people who share in the same spirit that we share in. Geographical distance is nothing, for we both are in Christ Jesus. When we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be no surprise to see them strengthened and encouraged. Just like Paul thanked the Corinthians and Romans and Philemon for their prayers, knowing that he had been delivered and was being delivered and will be delivered, because he understood, he felt the strength that had come to him through the work of others' prayers. I like the quote this one pastor says, Pastor Rich Villadas. He said this: when I get a strange sense of joy or peace, I assume that someone has been praying for me. You know, that's a good perspective to have. And I a lot of times feel the same as well. To a large extent, any success that happens in ministry, in my ministry, I know a lot of it has to do because people are praying for me. And, you know, anytime, you know, we can give glory to God for the circumstances of our lives, that's not a superstitious thing. That's a thing that we believe that God is at work in our life, and he deserves all the honor and all the glory. So we thank God for that. And so God seems to have set up a system where we pray for one another so we can learn to be dependent upon him and we can bond around one another. So the seeds we sow aren't just financial, but they are relational. They are words of comfort and encouragement. They are hugs. They are intentional prayers. We are missing out on what God freely wants to give us when we exist in a state of prayerlessness. God wants us constantly to be like little children, with open hands and open hearts to receive the free gifts of his kingdom. You know that? You know, I think of my little girls. You know, my one little girl, my three-year-old, you know what she is always doing? She is always asking me for something. And you know what I always do? Or at least most of the time, I give her what she asks for. But, you know, she has no shame in coming to me and asking me for what she needs, right? If she's hungry, if she needs to go to the bathroom, if she needs to, you know, go to the park, whatever she wants, she says, Daddy, can we do this? And, you know, we do it. And sometimes we just need to have that kind of trust in our Father, that God is always willing and with us, and he's able to instruct and lead and guide and meet our needs, that we can come before him like that. We can come before him as Abba, as the one who meets our needs, and we can petition him, because that's what Jesus taught us to do. With open hands and open hearts, we can receive the free gifts of his kingdom. And our struggle of prayer is a struggle to enter that rest, to be at peace, to cast off anxieties and care, to grab hold of the rock of our salvation. You know, this is what Martin Luther said about prayer. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. You know, Jesus shows us that God has freely given us good gifts. In the Lord's Prayer, remember, God has freely given us his forgiveness. God has freely given us his daily bread, provision. God has given us deliverance from evil. God has given us a way out of every temptation. God has given us the gifts of his Holy Spirit. He's given us joy and wisdom, peace, good gifts. In prayer, we simply open our hands to receive what God is already willing to give us. But if we don't pray, we don't have our hands open. And closed hands and hard hearts and trusting in ourselves gets us nowhere in life. But when we pray intentionally for people on a regular basis, you know, our prayers, they don't have to be robotic. We don't have to say the same thing over and over again. And they don't have to be long either. We don't have to war in tongues for an hour. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe you, that could be something good too. But Jesus tells us that we aren't heard because of our many words. You know that? He says, I don't want you to babble on forever like the pagans because they think they're heard because of their many words. No, our prayer is not a religious act of trying to con God into doing something good. Our prayer is trusting that he is our Abba and that he already is good and that we don't need to twist his arm to do something good, but we just are in a place of humility and a place of grace, and we receive the good things he's already willing to give us. That's what prayer is all about. So when we pray for missionaries, you know, one thing you can do about praying for missionaries and prayer support for missionaries is take one of the nation's reports. We get one of these every year, what just the Mutual Faith Ministries missionaries are doing. And we have all the missionaries here, 6 of them. Maybe once a week you can pick it up and just pray over these people. You can pray over Richard Johnson. You can pray over Donald Cork, Ben DeNorte, Johnny DeVia, Mwepo Fernando, Saideeb. You can see where they're working at. You can say, Father, Lord, I just thank you that you are with these people. Father, I thank you you're giving them strength today, encouragement today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they know that they are loved today. I thank you that you're giving them wisdom in the challenges they're facing today, Lord. I thank you that they're able to meet the needs in their community today, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that they are filled, Lord, with your love and your life today. You know, you can do that. And you know what that prayer actually does? It actually does something. God actually works in their hearts and works in their lives, and he meets people's needs. So we can trust God with our prayers. We can be mission supporters in our prayers. We can wash people in the water of the word from any distance because there's no distance in the Spirit. And we do help through our prayers. The second thing I just want to mention this morning is this, the role of short-term missions trip. You know, last week we showed a couple videos of the Beirut, Life Center in Beirut, and the Life Center in the Philippines that we work with orphans over in the Philippines. And we have tables in the back when you guys leave. If you're interested in those trips, sign up. Maybe you don't know how you're going to get all the finances for something, but sign up anyways, and we're going to try to sponsor some people who maybe don't have the finances for everything. But, you know, don't let that hold you back from it. But, you know, I want to talk about a couple more trips we're going to be doing this year. We're going to do one to Mexico, and we're going to do one to Costa Rica or Latin America. If you weren't here Wednesday, who was here Wednesday? You know, Wednesday was great. We had Justin and Janann share about their experience on the mission field. Janann's been on like 5 trips with Mutual Faith Ministries. Justin's been on, you know, many, many trips. And if you want to check out that lesson or that what they shared with us, you can, I think it's on Facebook. You can go there, look last Wednesday, listen to it. They shared a lot of great things of what you can expect on a short-term mission trip, what they learned about short-term missions, and see if it's something you want to do. You know, one person that really is a picture of a short-term missionary would be someone like an Epaphroditus that we've been talking about, sent from the Philippian church. and that what he did when he came alongside a long-term missionary like Paul is that he encouraged Paul. You know, sometimes when you go on a short-term mission trip, it's not just what you can do for all the people who live in the area, but it's the encouragement that you can bring to the established missionary in that area. And it's coming alongside them, and it's encouraging them, and it's helping them in their ministry, and it's bringing them the gifts of, you know, those who are praying for them and giving to them financially from over, you know, here. And so God ministers in short terms in all sorts of different ways. Here are some things that short-term missions can do for you. Short-term missionaries better understand the ministry and purpose of missions. Those who have never experienced cross-cultural missions often have wrong impressions about it. They may view missions as a glamorous ministry with thankful natives coming to Christ each day. But after participating in a short-term trip, you'll see the realness of missions, that people are just like you and me. They have the same hopes and fears as you and me, and you can better appreciate the goals and the service of missions. Another two short-term missions can do is short-term missionaries can become more sacrificial supporters of long-term missions. When you go on a short-term missions, you understand the role and the purpose of missions, and you're thankful for the ministry of those who participate in that. And it can affect your heart for the rest of your life. Number three is short-term missions develop passion for knowing Christ and making him known. When you see how Christ is experienced and known in the lives of those outside of your own little neighborhood, your own little city, your own little culture, you become grateful that truly God is the God of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And lastly, short-term missions creates opportunities for leaving a mark on someone. You know, like Janann was saying, is that, you know, the people are in awe, our little kids or big kids, they love to see people come more than once, and they're just all that people would come all from halfway across the world to say, you know, God loves you, and to show them the love of Christ. And so there's something that is fun and that is powerful about missions trips. I want to show you some pictures of Latin America. Can we pull up some of those? Okay, here, this was from like 2010 or something, about 7 years ago. I went and I preached down there with my dad. We hit like three or different churches or so. This one church in particular, I remember, I was preaching the story of Mephibosheth, you know, the grandson of Saul who was carried before King David. I remember I got to the point about Jesus in heaven in Revelation with all his covenant marks, all everything, all the blood that he has shed, the covenant he made between him and his father. And the translator broke down in tears. He couldn't translate a word. He couldn't say, and the people were crying. You know, the gospel, the good news, it speaks across all cultures. It speaks across all language groups. It was a really good time. Why don't you go on and look at some things? There's prayer ministry that happens down there. There is leadership team meetings, and why don't we just go through those here real quick. And again, here's a picture of a group from Chicago that went down there with us. Here's distributing food, and again, a distribution of food. That's Donald Cork, our team leader down there. This is kids there. Go ahead to the next one. And, yeah, just some good stuff going down there. And here's some children's ministries. If you were here Wednesday night, you'll see that there's a lot of kids' ministry that goes on wherever short-term mission you go to, clowns. A fun time. The kids love it. And so if you don't, you know what you're going to do. And then also you have a chance to go, and usually they take like a half a day or something, and you get to go sightseeing as well. You get to see the beauty, the glories of God's creation in whatever place you go. So like here, they did zip lining. Looks like fun. The other trip we're making available is a trip in Ensenada. So someone who's afraid of planes or anything, we drive down to Ensenada. And it's cheap too, right? You don't have to buy an expensive plane ticket. And in Mexico, what we do is we come alongside my aunt, who she does summer camps for orphans all summer long. And these kids come to the summer camp every summer, and it's one of the highlights of their year. And what she does is she just has groups from different churches that come down and help her run these missions camps. And it's really fun. So if anyone's interested in doing that this summer, you can pick up one of the flyers in the back and put your name and telephone number down, and we'll hook you up. Also, we talked about the homeless ministry last week that Benny does here in San Fernando, and we now have sheets of stuff that Benny needs, and we'll have a bucket here every week. People can bring it, and so make sure you pick up one of these, and you know, if you want to bring some stuff in, Benny will be in the back to answer any questions you have about that. And so now, right before we take communion here, do one last thing. We're going to show another video concerning the faith promise giving. And we passed out faith promise giving forms last week. If anyone doesn't have a form, there will be ushers in the back who will have forms. Make sure you take one and pray about how you would like to give to missions this year financially, whether it's $5, whether it's $500, whether it's a monthly gift, whether it's a weekly gift, a yearly gift. You can fill that out. And once we receive all of the forms, we will figure out how we're going to distribute that as local missions and global missions. So let's take a minute and watch this short video.
Hello, everybody. Keith Hershey here. What a great missions week. I know Heidi and I are on the road again today, but also last weekend we heard the message last Sunday. So excited about what's happening. Got some reports from different people who had texted me and told me about last week. And of course, this Wednesday night was excellent as well. But I just wanted to remind you about our faith promise little forms that we're just inviting people. If they want to participate, they can. If they don't, that's fine. But we have these little forms if you'd like to just give something extra for missions. And this is only as God provides. It's like, God, I'd like to give an extra $25 a month for missions, for example. And just believe for increase. If the increase isn't there, of course you don't give the money. If you want, you can put your name on it. If you don't, you don't have to. But you can give a weekly amount, a monthly amount, or something annually, or just a one-time gift. So, for example, this week, I met with Cheryl, who was in the office, and Heidi and I, since we're not here to turn in our mission form, put something actually on a credit card with the church website. And, you know, we're doing something every month for the Faith Promise, just missions. And so we're so excited about that as well. So Cheryl helped us get that online properly here this week. But today, after church, out in the gymnasium, as people are fellowshipping, if you'd like to do something online where you have an automatic weekly gift or an automatic monthly gift just for missions, we have people out there who can help you go online, and you can put your credit card information in if you prefer to do something like we're doing, just an automatic debit. Otherwise, every week, if you want to put your mission offering in, or once a month, or however you want to do it. But this is just between you and the Lord. But then Pastor Josh can take our little pledge forms and kind of get ideas of different things we can do locally and around the world to help people and share the love of the Father. Hey, I hope you've had a great day, and I hope you're having a great, great week. God loves you completely, and we do too. Thanks for sharing the love.
Awesome. Good. So make sure you check out all the tables. Cheryl will be out there. Anyone who does want to sign up for automatic giving. And you can turn in the Faith Promise giving form whenever you want. You can turn them in today at that table. You can turn them in next week. But as I said, as we gather them together, we'll get some of the ideas of what we can do with